This is Graham. He's new to PokerStars. Graham doesn't know it yet, but he's a VIP. He's entitled to claim points against any number of rewards in the PokerStars VIP program. From PlayStations to plasmas, from Porsches to seats at major on- and offline poker tournaments. You see, he started collecting VIP points the minute he joined PokerStars as a real money player. Because we don't think you should have to apply or be in the know to earn rewards. He'll be very excited when he finds out. Just you wait and see. Wait for it. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP and find out why all other reward schemes seem just a little, well, inaccessible. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It is October 8th, 2010, and you are listening to the best PokerCast on the internet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long. Chris, I know this is this first issue we're going to talk about gives you the red ass. I know. And... it always has, me too, but I really thought we were past it.
Okay.
But I found out this week that we're not. So, you know, Ante Up's just going to have to get back on this bandwagon and try to squish this cockroach out of existence.
Is it the whole RCG thing again? Or what are you
doing? No. We'll tackle that maybe next week.
Oh, no, wait, that gives the Ante Up Nation the red ass. That's right, I'm sorry.
Yes, that's right. No, what I'm talking about, Chris, is Hollywooding in Hollywood. All right, you know, when we teach those little poker 101s, you're very fond of, we're teaching these beginning players, you know, don't do like you see on TV or in the movies when they say, I see your two and raise you five. Because you don't do that, that's a string raise. It's not going to allow you to do it. Don't listen to Maverick or whoever else is doing it. It's ridiculous, right?
Right.
Well, you know, this week I'm sitting on my couch watching Boardwalk Empire. I don't know if you watched that. Great show. It's on HBO now. It's about the back in the 20s, back in the coming of age of Atlantic City.
Right. It's got, what's his name in it?
Steve Buscemi.
Buscemi, yeah.
Yeah. It's a great first three episodes. Or actually, what I should say is great first 2 hours in about 38 minutes. It's about at that 39th minute. I'm sitting there, I'm enjoying my cold Pabst Blue Ribbon, watching the show, and there's a scene where they're playing poker. And maybe it was Pharaoh, I don't know, you know, whatever they played back then. But it was poker-esque, right?
Right.
And the character is Arthur Rothstein, whatever. You know, the guy that fixed the World Series back in the Black Sox thing?
Right.
All right, so he's playing, and this guy makes a big bet. And he looks at his whole cards, and he looks at them real confidently, you know, big studly kind of guy, you know?
Yeah.
He goes, I see your two... And he splashes the pot. Oh, I totally forgot he splashed the pot. So that's one more thing. You don't splash the pot. He splashed the pot. I see your two. Goes back to his stack. And I raise you 5,000. And throws that into the pot. And then the other guy melts and folds. Oh, it was bluffing. And then he's like, so was I. He turns the card over. Really? It's 2010, Chris. The poker boom has been raging for 7 long years now. Poker is on every channel of the universe. And still, we have these Hollywood scriptwriters that don't know how to play the freaking game.
You know, and on top of it, half of Hollywood plays poker now. You'd think there'd be somebody on this set going, whoa. It's 2010, people.
Absolutely. What I'm hoping is James Woods, when his contract's up on Family Guy,
yeah,
that he'll actually whore himself out to all these other shows and say, hey, Give me $1,000, I'll show up, I'll scribble out the couple of necessary words in the script, and Scott and Chris aren't going to get upset anymore.
Oh, man. Well, since James Woods got killed in the first episode this season, I think he might be actually be able to help us out now.
Yeah, but I heard it's a dream sequence, kind of like, you know, Patrick Duffy from Doubt.
Okay.
and of course, I couldn't get away from poker watching this because the fetching Gretchen Mol was had a bit part in this.
Fetching Gretchen.
Gretchen. And remember, she played the very hot Joe, and I'm not going to get that fight over who Joe or Petra and all that kind of stuff. But she was in this show, and so it just reminded me more of poker because of Rounders. And Chris, she played a grandmother.
Oh, no way.
Last week, I found out you're a senior citizen. This week, Gretchen Mol's a grandmother. What does this mean for me?
Oh, my God.
Am I in my golden years now, too?
All right, well, the really, 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 really scary thing would be that if they didn't have to put any makeup on her and she played a grandmother. So if they put makeup on her to make her look like a grandmother, you're okay.
Now, I mean, granted, she was a stripper. So, I mean, it balances out a little bit. But
granted. Oh, man. I don't know if I want to see Gretchen Mol as a stripper grandmother. I don't know what,
means. They're not in the same scene. You know, she's a stripper in one scene, and then her son comes to see her, and then his son goes home and coddles the kid a little bit. So then I'm like, yep, that makes her grandma.
Oh, man. Well, you know, while you were busy watching HBO, I was busy trying to expand our empire.
Oh, very good.
And funny that it's called
the Boardwalk.
Yeah, it's funny that it's called Boardwalk Empire because where am I trying to expand our magazine except Atlantic City in New Jersey? So we decided, by the end of the year, we wanted to have our magazine cover, you know, New Jersey, Connecticut, New York, and probably New Hampshire. They got a few rooms up there, actually. I'm sure no one knows that. So almost the reason why we should do it. And so I'm like, okay, Scott, you know what? I'm feeling pretty brave today. I'm gonna call the mob guys in Jersey and see what kind of information they can give me about those poker rooms, you know? So, you know, as you and I know, time is of the essence and very a rare commodity with our booming business, right? So I can't waste any time, okay? When I'm on the phone, I'm in and I'm out, bing, bang, boom. Right? I'm on the phone, I'm off the phone, I'm on the phone, I'm off the phone. I'm not wasting any time, I'm not watching any TV shows. And so, you know, we have this list of resources where we get these phone numbers and stuff so we can try to call directly. And if not, sometimes they have a toll-free number, you know. So, you know, if I'm at home, I like to use the toll-free number, you know. That way, instead, I'm not going to accrue any extra minutes on the cell phone for no reason. So,
yeah,
you know, there's...
Our future clients pay the bill.
Yeah. Let them pay the bill. Sure, they got the Watts system installed. Let them keep track of who's calling and stuff. Maybe it'll, you know, come back to us somehow. I don't know. But anyway, it's an 800 number to call Harrah's, right? It says, you know, Harrah's Atlantic City. Here's the 800 number. And I'm like, oh, this is great. This is great. You know, I have another toll-free number. So I call it up, and I'm like waiting for it to ring. And then it's like the operator comes on after pushing 107 different buttons. And she says, can I help you? And I says, yeah, I'm trying to talk. I'm trying to get the poker room. It's just, oh, hang on a second. And then the phone rings, and the poker room picks up, and, like, I'm not going to say the guy's name, but maybe it was Tony or something, you know. And he's like, yeah, this is Tony, poker room. And I said, hey, man, it's Chris Cosenza from Annie Up Magazine. And he's like, hey, how's it going? And I'm like, dude, it's going great. How's it going up there, you know? And he's like, oh, man, we're okay. We're pretty busy today, you know, but, you know, things are going okay. What's going on? Can I help you out? You know, I'm like, yeah. I said, listen, you know, our magazine's expanding, and I went on your website today, and I saw your tournament schedule, and I saw your bad beat stuff. I said, but I really didn't see any other promotions and stuff, and, you know, a little background about our magazine, you know, we run everything that we can about your room, and we have a section called Where to Play, and... You know, for free, totally free. You know, we're out there for the poker player, trying to give them as much information about their rooms and your website. You know, it didn't have anything about promotions, and I thought, you know, you guys should have that stuff up. And he said, you know what? He said, my wife actually does the website for us. For like Harris, too. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, the plumber's wife has the leaky pipes kind of thing, right? And he's like, yeah, yeah. I say, except you're the wife. And then he laughs, and we giggle. And, you know, we're bonding over the phone. It's great. You know, things are working out. So we're talking, and then he's like, man, do we have promotions? You got a pencil ready? And I'm like, yeah, dude, go ahead. So, you know, my cell phone was kind of dying earlier in the day, so I had that charged. So I got, like, these wires and everything, and I got the phone in my ear, and so I can't put my regular phone on speakerphone, so I got, like, it on my shoulder, and I'm furiously writing down all these awesome promotions. I'm like, this is great, man! It's like, you know, they got Aces Crack, Spin the Wheel, they got all these things! I'm like, this is fantastic! Finally, somebody in Atlantic City giving me all this great information, you know? So we're talking and talking. And I'm like, okay, the other thing I need to know is, like, who your poker room manager is, and then if I could talk to that person, you know, I said, or have their contact information. He's like, oh, yeah, his name is, you know, Joe Schmo, whatever. And I'm like, oh, that's great, you know? I said, that's cool. I said, he said, so are you going to be in all the Vegas rooms? And I'm like, no, I'm not going to be in the Vegas rooms. I said, we're working our way up the Eastern Seaboard, you know? I said, we're you know, right now we're in all the South and the Mid-Atlantic states, and by the end of the year we hope to have all of New England there too, and if we do another edition, you know, we'll do a West edition, and then of course we will have Vegas rooms in there, and you guys will get, you know, everyone will know about you because we'll have stuff out in the Vegas rooms too. And he says, where did you think you called? And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, you're talking to Harrah's Las Vegas. I was like, what? I mean, it was like a 25-minute conversation I had with this guy.
Oh,
and the lady
no.
transferred me to the Las Vegas. She transferred me to the Las Vegas one, or the 800 number was a wrong listing, and I called the 800 Vegas one. Whatever it was, I talked to the guy, and I'm like, I know his wife now. I know where he went to school. I know the poker room manager. I know all of their specials and promotions. And I was like, I can't afford to lose this 25 minutes, man. How frustrating. How frustrating is that? Man. But that's a roundabout way of saying, hey, buddy, we're expanding the magazine again, and we're going up to my roots, Connecticut and New Jersey and New York and that kind of thing. That's pretty exciting for me, knowing.
Absolutely.
You know, I played in those rooms, and I've been up there, and now to see my magazine and our magazine, whatever, up there, it's just pretty cool.
Absolutely. Very excited about it, and we'll look forward to getting up there and visiting those rooms like we did with the other ones and see if we can have another little fun road trip. I'm already looking forward to the road trip to Atlantic City because, you know, nothing can go wrong there.
Hey, just keep brushing up on those Boardwalk Empire shows. And
yeah, absolutely.
You'll have my back.
Well, you know, hey, another travel opportunity is coming up, Chris. And every January, Poker Stars takes over the Atlantis Resort in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Which we'll be at in a couple of short weeks on the Annie Poker Cruise.
That's correct. If you make it. If you make it, buddy.
I'm just all choked off. I just can't wait to get on the ship.
I can see that emphysema is really kicking in today.
But, you know, people look forward to this Caribbean adventure because besides having just a lot of tournaments in a short amount of time, a lot of cash games, they do very unique tournaments there, Chris.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not just all no-limit hold'em like a lot of these things are, right?
Right.
And, like, for example, they have like a half-and-half Chinese poker. I mean, I haven't seen a Chinese poker tournament in my life, and they have a half-and-half one.
Well, what's the other half?
it's like a high and a low or something.
Oh,
you
my
know?
God.
I didn't have time to look into that, Chris, because caught my eye before that was they have an event on the schedule. It's only $600. It's on January 11th, and it's called Fipple Draw.
Fipple Draw.
And that's not, you know, I'm not, I don't have a speech impediment. It's actually Fipple Draw, F-I-P-L-E. the only thing it better be Ripple Draw, you know, where I get a little hooch when I'm drawing three cards. But no, it's Fipple Draw. And it is a combination of ace to five low ball, deuce to seven low ball, Badoogie. All right, we haven't lost anybody yet, right?
Not yet.
And then Badoosie and Badacy. Five game rotation in Fipple Draw.
I was wondering if you were going to screw up the Badacy or not. You did a good job, though.
Thanks, buddy. But you know, I kind of heard Badusi thrown around. I've never heard of Badusi.
Well, we've played Badusi, right? We played that at the IP.
Yeah, at the IP. Yeah, the IP.
In Vegas, yeah.
And so, you know, folks don't know, Badusi is half Badugi, half Deuce to Seven.
Right.
All right, so, you know, half the pot goes to the best Badugi hand, the other half goes to the best Deuce to Seven. And then Badusi is the same thing, but it's half Badugi and half Ace to Five.
Badusi.
Talk about a crazy tournament. Is it possible to come up with a crazier tournament?
Man, that's great. And I love they call it Fipple. They don't call it, like, Quintuple or whatever. They just call it Fipple.
Fipple.
Like Fudge Ripple.
And the funny thing is, when I was just kind of looking into making sure I wasn't wrong on Badusi, I found an old blog post from Todd Brunson, right?
Yeah.
And it was titled, "Why You Should Always Be Sure You Know What Game You're Playing."
Oh, I think I read that.
And, you know, talked about it, you know, this kind of Fipple kind of thing, or these games are very popular in the cash games at these big tournaments. And apparently he lost a pretty huge pot, or won a big pot. I didn't get that far to figure out exactly what happened. But obviously, he didn't know which game it was going on, and he was playing the opposite one.
Yeah, you know, I think at the end, it was another guy who didn't know what game it was, and he thought he was going all the way with a great hand. And then at the end, Todd had to fold because he knew the guy was so confident that he had to have a good hand. And when the guy showed the hand, he didn't realize what game he was playing, so Todd had to lay it down. I think that's what it was.
That's even a better story.
Kind of like Faso when we're playing Deuce of Seven for the first time and he's got an ace in his hand. And he's all confident, takes the first pot down, and we're like, "You have an ace." "Oh, but I still win," he says. That's awesome. Well, that is an incredible game.
Yeah, I'm going to have to find some time to get back on PokerStars and try to satellite into one of these. I'll get into that one just for the trip over there to say that I played Badusi.
You know Billy Baxter's going to be there for that thing, man. He's probably going to take that down with his eyes closed.
Oh, but, you know, hey, it is a draw-themed show, Chris.
Yeah.
Because Wednesday night was our Apes free roll. Five-card draw pot limit. And the actual event will be next Wednesday, October 13th, 9 p.m., always on PokerStars. And I got to say, you know, I mentioned this last week. I was looking forward to this. And, you know, we've been so busy this week. You know, I'm getting ready to do some traveling. So I was hungered down last night. I was working. And I knew I might actually forget to play the free roll.
Right.
So what I do when I get up in the morning is I log into PokerStars or register for the tournament and minimize it. So that way at 9 p.m., if I'm totally engrossed in something else, the screen will pop up, bloop, bloop. And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, that's right. It's Apes time."
Oh, my God. You keep logged in for like 10 hours?
Well, you know, hey, this is what you got to do, so you don't forget. And last night was exactly the case. I totally forgot at that point until bloop, bloop, I had cards. I'm like, "Yes." So then I got excited, right? You know, it's pot limit five cards. I was looking forward to this. I actually wanted to play the game. I know it's a free roll, right? I wanted to win the seat.
Right.
But I just wanted to play. And I tried to get on the night before to practice, and nobody was playing it anywhere. And so I look at my seat, and there are three sit-outs at my table. All right?
Oh, man.
Kind of getting used to this, right? Yeah. And then Jay Herkey, I got up. I played one hand. I got up to go, you know, burn something to the DVD on the TV, sat back down. He's gone. Gone like in the second hand. And they replace him with another sit-out. So now I'm essentially, so I'm heads up with a guy at my table with four other guys, right?
Jeez.
And to be honest, it's really not that much fun. Play heads up with four sit-outs and five-card draw. But I eventually took out my opponent, Chris. And then I had the whole table to myself. I was king of the table.
Oh, man.
And, well, that's great for my chip stack.
You don't get to play.
I don't get to play, and it's frustrating because I just got to sit there and go, race.
You can get work done that way.
No, I can't because I got to sit there and go, race. I can't be working in the background, which is what I was planning to do the whole time. So finally, they move another guy to my table, and I'm like, shoot, now I got to play again. But I don't really get to play. I'm playing heads up again. So we had to get all the way down to, like, 50 left. It's 170. I had to get down to, like, 50 left before we could actually play a real five-card draw. And it was awesome. I had a great time. It was a lot of fun playing. And of course, I was in. I did my patented Scott Long penthouse to the outhouse move, Chris. I was in the top five of the tournament for almost the entire tournament, and I go out 23rd.
Oh man,
nothing to show for my efforts. Just like four or five big hands at the end where I just missed, and boom, gone.
Well, as you can tell from the results, I went out first. I was the first one out of the tournament. And I went out so fast that PokerStars didn't even list my name up there on the official results.
Yeah, we'll have to talk to him about that, see what happened.
Here's what happened with me last night. The wifey comes home, you know, at like 8 o'clock, and she's like, man, I had a long day today. All I want to do is just have something to eat and watch Survivor. So I was like, well, it's starting at 8, you know, I got the DVR taping, and she says, all right, well, why don't you pause it, and then after I'm done eating, we'll watch it. And I was like, all right. And I'm thinking to myself, well, when, you know, when this show ends, I'll play, you know, the free roll. Right. So, hello, I forgot that I paused it for like 8 minutes, or 10 minutes, or whatever it was.
Oh, no.
So we're watching it, and then, you know, we catch up right away, but it's like the show ends, and I'm like, what's going on here? It's still recording. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's after 9. I'm watching the show recorded, you know, and I'm forgetting that. Oh, man. So it was like, I don't know, 15 after 9 before I remembered that I missed the Ace re-roll. And I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll do some work.
I would gladly let you take over one of these sit-outs.
I got to tell you, though, I'm sure the Antioch Nation loves it when I miss it because that's just one more seat for them to win. You know what I mean? I'm not taking a seat away from anybody if I happen to win it. So I'm sure they're happy that I'm not there whining like I always am. So.
All right, well, remember, the actual event is next Wednesday, October 13th, 9 p.m. Pot Limit 5-card draw. All the details are at anteupmagazine.com/apes. And the next free roll is going to be on Saturday, October 23rd at noon. That is good old-fashioned, boring, no-limit hold'em. So have fun for that.
Don't say boring, man. You're going to offend half the nation.
That's all right. I'm just going to poking them with a stick a little bit. So they go out and learn a new game like Badesi.
All right, well, before we get into the heart of the show, we have a few other things. Real quick, housekeeping. Again, let's remind everyone of the AnteUp Ambassador Program. You can apply to be an AnteUp Ambassador at anteupmagazine.com/ambassadors. And also, Scott, we got a new program for getting rid of some of our back issues.
Yeah. $15 for 1 year, 30 years for both. You can get complete volume one or complete volume two or both. $25 and $50 international for all those folks that we've wronged for 2.5 years by not being able to send out of the country. We're making it up to you now. And then you know, we mentioned our cruise is coming up in just a couple weeks, completely sold out. Can't even get any more cabins anywhere on the ship. There were like 5 cabins left on the entire ship for anybody in the Royal Caribbean universe last week. Those are all gone now. But now we are taking a wait list because we have a couple certificate winners who haven't called me yet.
Stragglers.
Yeah, and if they don't call by October 18th, no soup for you. And that means we'll have a couple extra cabins so we can accommodate some folks. So if you are able to travel on last-minute notice, let me know at scott@anteupmagazine.com, and we'll let you know if we have any openings.
That's right. And don't forget our back issues. If you want to look into that, it's anteupmagazine.com/magazine. And, hey, I'm pretty excited about the feedback this week because it comes from Eric Young, don't call me tongue, and remember, he was the one who had the wife bankroll thing that started the whole conversation
right.
about it and Father Paul writing in, right? So I'm going to read it, and then we'll see what happens. Since I remembered that the book Harrington on Cash Games has a chapter devoted to bankroll management. In only a few pages, it does a great job explaining the basics of a bankroll and why it's so important to have one large enough to compensate for ups and downs of poker. So I asked my wife to read that chapter so she could see that I wasn't making this stuff up and that a bankroll is the best way to go. After my wife read the chapter, I discussed everything with her, and she understood. He also said he decided to sweeten the pot for her. He told her that once the bankroll reached a mutually agreed upon amount of money, that they could use the excess for fun stuff, to indulge in some things, that kind of thing. So now, whenever he plays poker, she'll think of it as fun money kind of thing. And he said, in the end, the real issue between us was the fact that I never really explained to her why I was putting so much money aside and why doing so is so important to the well-being of our family. When she saw me saving thousands of dollars without much of an explanation, it was completely reasonable for her to get upset about it. But once I did a good job explaining why I did it, she was okay with it. So fret not, everyone. All is well again in the young, don't call us the Tongues household.
Yay! Let's have a round of applause for marital harmony.
I know. I think we're going to have to start a new show, you know, some, you know, marital advice with Long and Cosenza.
Well, you know, I credit our good friend Father Paul because, you know, I... He gives us words of wisdom that we can't really come up with. But that's glad to see that everything worked out for Eric. And again, just like everything in the world, comes out of communication. As long as you're talking, things seem to work themselves out.
Yes, caller, you're on the divorce line with Scott and Chris. Yeah, first time listener, caller, a long time listener. I'm in Jersey with my wife. And all right, so let's see what's going on the Annie Up news desk.
Oh man, you threw me for a loop there. I thought you were going to go at now. You got to ditch that zero and get yourself a hero.
Oh man, I can't stand those commercials. Don't even get me started.
Oh man. All right, on the news desk, Tony Dunst, the high stakes online player and poker writer, has won the nationwide talent search to become the host of the World Poker Tour's Raw Deal segment. Dunst is described by the WPT as a player, quote, who is known for his style at the table and his humor away from it. Huh. I think that kind of sums us up as well,
yeah,
too.
I think we're all known for that, aren't we? I can't wait to meet him when he comes to Florida. All right, PokerStars has set an unofficial world record for the most players in ring games, according to PokerScout.com.
Wow! I got my own site now.
That's awesome! PokerScout.com reports, the website says Stars had 105,230 players online on September 22nd, beating the old mark, which also Stars held at 103,010 players.
And that wasn't even an Apes night, so imagine if it was on an Apes night.
I'm sure it was Zips or something along those lines.
Yeah, but don't worry, Chris, you're going to get a lot more traffic on PokerChris.com eventually. So don't worry about being in the shadow of PokerScott.com.
That's okay. I can handle it.
And finally, in more record-breaking news, John Turmel, a Canadian who describes himself as a professional poker player, is running for elected office for the, get this, Chris, 74th time.
Oh, my God.
Cake Poker brings us this story. 74 times he's run for office. And since his first attempt in 1979, Turmel has never won an election. Not only is that losing streak an official Guinness World Record, many years ago he also set the record for most elections contested. 74 times, actually I should say 73 times a loser, he's 0-73. I wonder if the 74th time will be the charm for this guy.
But you know what though, I mean, is this guy like actively campaigning or is he just going in and saying, okay, I got the signatures, put me on the ballot, and then seeing what happens? You know what I mean? Are these like legitimate tries at getting the office or what?
Well, you know, here's the thing, too. That's he started in 79, right? So that's 31 years ago.
Yeah.
If my math is correct, did I carry the one correctly there?
Yeah, you did well.
So if he ran twice in a year, you know, once in the primary and once in the general election or whatever, that's only like 62. So he had to come up with 12 more in there. So he had at least 12 years where he ran three times in that year. For offices and laws. I don't even know how you can do that.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Do they have that many elections in Canada?
Well, maybe he's got dual citizenship and he's running for offices in different countries or something.
Yes, yes. Or maybe he was running for, like, you know, Grand Master of the Elks Lodge or something like that. Does that count?
Grand Poobah.
Bighorn, yeah.
Oh, man, that's hilarious. Hey, you know what? Our hotline is 813-448-1120. And this week's clip, Scott, it's very zen. It's very soothing.
Wow, excellent. Well, I'll look forward to hearing it here.
Yeah, let's listen to that. Well, that was an interesting clip, don't you think?
Yeah, you know, wow. You know, I logged into the hotline. I decided to pick the best call this week, and that was it.
That was it. That was the best call we had all week right there.
Yep. You know, even the crickets are like, dude, man, it's been slow, man.
Even the crickets just didn't have the energy to chirp for us there. But that,
yeah,
that's how soothing that clip was.
But the crickets are ecstatic, Chris, though. Don't worry about the critics, because we're going to send them a lovely T-shirt from PMS Pokerware, which sells hilarious shirts for women and men at PMSPokerware.com. And, you know, they're loving it. They're going to be walking around town sporting that shirt, and they're like, yeah, I got this. Compliments of the Annie Up listeners who didn't bother to call the hotline that week.
Yeah, this is our real sarcastic way of saying, call us, please. We're getting lonely here. All we're doing is working and missing poker tournaments. The least you can do is give us a call.
But fortunately, people are still writing us.
Yes,
Chris,
so. Yes.
You know, people talk about writing as being like the lost art now. You know, everybody's texting and calling on cell phones. But no, not here at Annie Up. People are banging out emails to us left and right.
Yes.
But scared of the phone. So, but this week, Clint sends us an email all the way from Taiwan. Took about 4 weeks, you know, to get to all the interwebs to get here. And Clint says, I'm a Canadian now living in Taiwan. I listened to your PokerCast ever since my wife downloaded it for me. See?
What a loving wife.
So many great wives on today's show.
Absolutely.
He says he loves listening to you two over here in Taiwan. It is great to hear poker talk in English on my iPod. well, you know, Clint, hey, man. I hate to burst your bubble here, buddy, but I have not yet perfected English. So if you think of what's coming out of my mouth is English, you are my new hero. Lots of people will be disagreeing with you, Clint, buddy. All right, well, he continues to say, I frequently make it deep in tournaments, but will min cash in most. Any tips on how to start closing better, books to read, blogs, people to watch, etc., would be greatly appreciated.
You know, it's funny that the show has all these themes running through it, because really Harrington's books are really good for the end. It's called The End Game, I think, right? The last.
Yeah,
so, I mean, for as far as, you know, going deeper in tournaments and closing or whatever, I would suggest that book. I read it. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very smart. Of course, he's the genius. So that's the book I would recommend if you're going to do that. Blogs? I don't know. I mean, there's so many blogs out there. I don't know if there are a lot of blogs out there talking about how to close in a tournament, but, you know, they're always – most of the blogs these days are like, you know, the ones that I've read or like to read or whatever, or like just their what's going on in their lives, not really strategy, but I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I guess in general I would say – I mean, this is probably a common problem, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You got a lot of people that, you know, they're success in tournaments. They're shooting for the money rather than for the golden prize. The big thing,
yeah.
And that's what happens is, you know, if you play to cash, you're going to cash. If you play to win, you're going to win. And you have to be willing to lose to win. So, you know, I guess what I suggest to people is drop down to like some like a dollar tournaments or something. You know, play your normal game. When it gets close to bubble, start trying new things. Start getting more aggressive.
Okay, I'm gonna have something here. Tell him to employ the George Costanza method of poker.
Excellent. All right.
Remember the show when George did the opposite of what he wanted to do?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
When you get into these situations and you're in this tournament and you're like, all right, this is what I'm going to do here. And I'm like, wait a minute. If I do this, this is what I always do, and I'm going to min cash. So instead of folding in the hijack with, like, you know, 9-7 of diamonds, raise with it. See what happens. When it gets closer to the bubble, if you got a decent stack, start to put pressure on the medium-sized stacks. Try it. Don't just sit there and wait for the cards to get in the money. You know what? Hey, you know, a lot of times you get knocked out of tournaments anyway, so why not get knocked out trying something else and see if it works? Try something opposite of what you've been doing.
Yep, absolutely. And you made a good point, too, about the medium stacks, because you don't want to be picking on the big stacks at that point, because I don't care.
Right.
They're going to play back at you. And the short stacks are desperate enough that they're just going to call and push with you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's definitely those medium stacks. The people like Clint who are worried about going out, those are the people. So you want to look in the mirror, Clint, and look around the table, and anybody that looks like you, that's who you attack.
Though nobody could have a cooler name than you, Clint. I mean,
no,
you got to be tough to pull that name off, man.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb, too, and say he's probably one of only, what, 5 Clints on all Taiwan?
If that.
Yeah, so he doesn't need a last initial or anything. He's like Madonna over there. Wait, Clint who? Clint who? What do you mean, Clint who? Clint!
There's only one Clint.
All right, well, Clint, hopefully this will make your poker more enjoyable. We are going to give you a free download of the Poker Hand Breakdown Pro, the hand history analysis program for single or mixed games from element26.net. And remember, they're running a special there, $8.95 now. So check that out at element26.net. That's the numerals 26. And Clint will give that to you all the way over in Taiwan. And maybe your wife will help you download it.
And if anybody else wants to send us a letter or an email, you can send it to podcast@anyupmagazine.com. But if you're going to handwrite the letter, don't put that down as the address, because the mailman's just going to look at it and be like, what the hell's this?
Yeah, unless the mailman actually listens to our show.
That's true. But hey, Scott, have you ever gone on a ride-along with a cop?
I didn't plan to, no. But yes. I have ridden along with cops, yes.
Well, see, I did one of the legal kind where I requested it, and the guy actually took me around. And, you know, I'm looking for thugs, and, of course, it's Wallingford, Connecticut, the white bread capital of the world. So, you know, all I was doing really was seeing, like, Boy Scouts walking little old ladies across the street when we drove around. I didn't see anything.
It's a jaywalker. He's jaywalking. Flip the lights.
But it was cool, you know. I got to sit in there, and I sat in the front seat, actually. I didn't sit in the back. I was hoping to be behind the cage, but, you know, he's like, nah, you can sit up here with me. And, you know, they got the little horn and the lights and the walkie-talkie. Back then, it was like a walkie-talkie, and, you know, they didn't have cell phones and, you know, and computers and everything.
I'm at 20 in progress.
Yeah, it was old school. Yeah. And, you know, he had the butch haircut and everything, so it was pretty cool. So I feel completely prepared to start our next ride-along with Columbo.
Excellent. This was so popular the first time you did it. But, you know, people love the one-minute mystery, so you got to get back to it.
Yeah,
to start.
Absolutely.
But we've been building up to this. We've been excited for yet another ride-along.
Yeah, well, what he's going to do is he's going to take us along the journey of a poker tournament from beginning to end. So here we go.
This is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another one-minute mystery. Well, almost. Welcome back to Ride Along with Columbo. We'll start here in level 1, where we've bled a little bit of chips. We're down to 2,500 from our starting stack of 3,000. In this hand, it folds around to us to the cutoff, and we look down at Ace of Diamonds, 10 of Clubs. I'm going to raise it here, 3x, and see what happens. The button folds, and the two blinds call. Flop comes 10 of spades, 9 of diamonds, 4 of spades. And the small blind bets out 400, and the big blind insta-folds. The pot is 1480, and you have 2250 behind. What do you want to bet, and why?
And that's not all. Buy today, and we'll set you completely free.
Ever thought that some offers are just too good to be true?
Yes, that's an incredible 42-piece set for only $19.95. Yes, you heard us.
That you don't generally get something for nothing?
Free! Free! Free!
Well, at PokerStars, you actually do. Because the minute you sign up as a real money player, you automatically join our VIP club and start earning player points towards hundreds of items, from plasmas to Porsches to seats at major poker tournaments. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to see why our rewards program makes other offers seem, well, a lot of hot air. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
Scott, you know, one of the great things about charity tournaments is it usually attracts some of the biggest names if it's a really good cause. And, you know, sometimes you put it in a good locale and you can attract pretty much anybody. And, of course, Florida is considered one of the greatest destinations in the country. So it was easy to see why Joe Sebok would make the trek all the way across the country to play in Vinny LeCavalier's charity tournament here at Derby Lane in St. Petersburg. And so I went down there and had a chance to talk with him. And, you know, he's got that beard now, you know. It's like,
yeah.
He's like a Yeti or whatever.
It's playoff beard.
Yeah, it's play. And that's exactly what it is, believe it or not. He actually grew the beard for the Blackhawks, he told me. And then after they won it, he didn't get rid of it. I'm like, dude, what are you doing to me here?
It's really the only reason anybody grows beards anymore. You know, hey, it's playoffs! Woo! Then people start saying, hey, you look kind of good in the beard, you know, being nice, even though they don't, what they really mean is, hey, you look like a complete tool. And then people are like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to keep it now, even though the playoffs are over. And then that's why we have a nation full of tools walking around. Joe Zeebock is not a tool, though.
No. Although he does say in this interview that he's perplexed why people think he is one. So here is my interview with Joe Zeebock.
How important is charity to you?
Well, I think charity, you know, first of all, it should be a huge part of everyone's life.
Right.
But especially for me, I mean, coming from where I'm coming from, you know, with my dad kind of setting the pace with that stuff, you know, I just consider it sort of incumbent upon us to get involved, you know, and even a privilege. You know, it's always a funny situation whenever I come to these events because everyone's thanking me and they're, oh, my God, and they want to do all this for me. And I'm just like, man, I'm so lucky to be able to do these kind of things and to be able to help people. So I think it's a huge part, and especially, you know, playing poker, you know, having access to money, to not give back, in my opinion, is selfish. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so on the poker side of it, you've been with UB for about a year now, right?
About a year.
How's it going with them? How'd they get you? And how do you think things are going moving forward with new owners?
Well, you know, it's been rocky. You know, anything with UB is always a little difficult. You know, they'd made a lot of mistakes in the past. You know, how they got me, they basically came to me, and, you know, as I've said, you know, a couple different times, is we sat down. I sat down with Paul Leggett, you know, who's kind of running the show, and just said, hey, man, I'm happy to get involved, but I just want to change things. I just want to get some of this information out, move forward, you know, on the right foot, and sort of have a nice break, you know, from everything that was going on.
Right.
So that's how they scooped me initially. The last year has been all about that, trying to get as much information out as is humanly possible.
Right.
You know, in this environment that we have to be sort of aware of the business needs of the company and all this kind of, you know, for lack of a better word, the bullshit things that we have to deal with living in the United States and dealing with all this crap.
Right.
You know, obviously, in a perfect world, I would like to just release everything. You know, these people that, you know, basically perform this crime, you know, on the community.
Yeah.
I think we all want to see in jail. You know,
absolutely.
Paul has said that to me repeatedly. But it's, of course, not as easy as we would like it to be. But we've gotten out a lot of information. There's still a few things that I'm working on that I would like to finish up. But to answer, you know, the third part of your question, I mean, I'm ecstatic about Blanca Gaming coming in. I mean, it really, at this point, you know, it's sort of a double-edged situation because it's great to have, you know, Stuart Gordon's coming in. He doesn't have poker experience, but he definitely has e-gaming experience. He's the CEO right now of Blanca. But then this is also just another break from the past. It's getting further away, you know, from the group that, you know, had owned UB and then basically, you know, owned Excapsa, which had shares in UB. It's totally moving further away from them, getting further away from Russ Hamilton, getting just those people, you know, again, further in our rearview mirror so we don't have to keep dealing with them. So it's just a better situation. So I couldn't be happier, you know, and it's nice. I don't feel like I've accomplished everything I want to. But the last year, you know, I'm pretty happy getting to this point, making this even cleaner break from, you know, the past owners. And, you know, again, nobody wants to spend their life, you know, cleaning up a mess.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So my goal is to get this mess clean so finally we can do some exciting things. And when people hear, you know, the letters UB, they don't just think scandal, terrible, cheating, awful.
Right.
You know, they start thinking, you know, some interesting, exciting things, you know, because I have a lot of ideas to bring to help build the company up. But again, we have to get through sort of the garbage to get to that point. So I think we're getting closer to that point now.
Okay. All right, let's talk about poker. You've been playing poker professionally now for pretty decent amount of time.
Sure.
What's it going to take for you to get over the hump and to get that first really important big win for you?
You know, what it's really going to take is me getting back into poker. I mean, basically, I took this turn into Poker Road and now UB, and there's so many business things that I've gotten involved in. They've all been great, and I would not for half a second complain. I mean, I'm probably the luckiest person in poker to be able to do all these different things, but, you know, it's going to detract from your game. That's just the nature of the beast, you know. So probably what's going to happen is, you know, we'll get things settled, you know. Poker Road hopefully will settle. UB will work through some of the garbage we're referring to. You know, get into some really exciting things.
Yeah.
And then maybe I'll feel satiated on those, you know, levels. And I'll say, okay, now it's time to get back into poker.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, it's frustrating. You know, it's one of those things, you know. And it seems like I'm always there. You know, I just cashed in the Legends event at the Bike.
Yeah.
So I never feel like, man, I suck.
Right.
I just can't do anything. You know, I'm not really one of those guys who goes in and I don't ever do anything. It really is almost directly correlated to just how much time I'm able to put into it. it. Yeah. If I'm able to put in the hours, it seems like I'm able to get the results. You know, of course, we have all the sevens and all, you know, the near misses on the final tables, but a lot of that at that point really comes down to cards, you know, just getting there to that point really right. is kind of where the meat is.
With Barry teaching you early on, what was the best advice he ever gave you for poker?
Uh-huh. The best advice he ever gave me, I didn't follow, which was don't play poker. So he gave me that advice. I decided to ignore it, got into the game. But, I mean, I think more to the point, what you're looking for is the actual playing of the game.
Yeah.
You know, and some of the biggest things in poker have nothing to do, you know, with, well, don't play ace-queen suited in this spot. It's so much of it is ego. You know, so much of it is having enough of an ego to get out there and go to war and have faith in yourself in battle, but having such a small ego that you can pull back. And, you know, so many people get sucked into these things. Well, you know, this guy's doing this to me, or this guy's doing that to me, or I'm going to play my way, or I'm going to ignore everybody else. And all that is ego. So it's really sort of a weird situation. You have to have a lot of ego and all at the same time none.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
That probably those lessons were the best ones that he taught me. Just learning some humility. You know, and the nice thing about our game is it's going to humble you whether you like it or not.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you go talk to Doyle, go talk to Phil, go talk to Bear. I mean, these guys have been humbled multiple times. So it's just, it comes sort of with the game, and you have to learn those lessons as they come.
Is there something that, or at least a specific point in poker strategy that you two differ on that you would totally just argue with him about?
I don't know. Barry's become so famous now for the C-bet. I mean, he is like Mr. C-bet Bear, right? You even see it on a lot of the TV shows. Like, we know Bear's betting right here. So we've had a lot of discussions, you know, in the last year and a half or so about, you know, sort of the pros and cons of doing that all the time and what you gain versus what you lose, you know. Obviously, you go into it knowing, well, or you go into it with this concept of, well, if everyone knows what you're going to do, that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Right? So you're thinking, okay, well, that's a bad thing. But at the same time, you still put them in a box where they have to make a play on you. So, you know, long story short, we definitely see betting we've been talking about recently a little bit.
Okay. How is Poker Road?
Poker Road's good. You know, I mean, we basically have incubated it down, so we're not doing as much content as we used to.
Yeah.
Just trying to weave our way through until we get to sort of this UIGA madness. Is it going to get repealed? Is it going to get amended?
Yeah.
Nobody really knows. But that was always our plan. I mean, we don't, you know, we're not card player. We're not poker news. We don't have these massive, regardless of what everyone thinks, Barry and I don't have like $80 billion in the bank. So we kind of had to incubate it, you know, shrink it down a little bit, make it real tight. And that's kind of the plan until we get to the point where maybe some more money comes into the economy, the community.
Yeah.
And then we plan on building it up. I mean, we still feel like we have the most creative people in the business. We still feel like, you know, the ideas that come out of our company and our people are the best. You know, unfortunately, we just don't have the money necessarily to pump into it right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But we don't want to lose them, so we're trying to keep them close. We're trying to keep them tight. And, you know, like I said, hopefully make it through those waters.
All right, last question is, what is one thing that would surprise our audience about you that they don't know?
What would surprise the audience? Maybe just that I didn't grow up rich. People seem to really think that I grew up with Bear and we had millions of dollars and I got a Mercedes-Benz on my 16th birthday and all this kind of stuff, and none of it is true. It's not even remotely true. So probably just that. You know, it's really interesting. I meet so many people. It doesn't happen so much anymore because more people in the community know me. I met so many people in the first couple of years that were like, man, you're like a really cool guy. I thought you were going to be such an asshole. And I would always be like, what? Why? So I don't know where it comes from, man. I think it comes from this idea that I was some rich kid growing up.
Oh, my God.
Which I wasn't, you know. So I deal with that a lot. It's pretty funny.
This is Joe Seabock, and you're listening to Annie Up.
All right, we're going old school here, Chris.
Yes, old school.
Micro limits. Micro limits.
Yes, right up my alley.
Threw a lot of those limit cash games at you in the last couple of weeks and, you know, some home tournaments and stuff. Now we're back online, and we are at the 2-cent nickel table. Is that even how you say it, 2-cent? Did I mix denominations there?
I don't know,
probably
actually.
2-cent, 5-cent, or...
There's no two cent
chip, right? You know, there's no coin. It's either a Lincoln or a Jefferson, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the Lincoln twins and Jefferson game.
Yeah, I would think we would have some kind of Indian out there that we could put on a 2-cent coin here in the country, but I guess not. All right, well, it's 2-cent, 5-cent online. And this comes from our new good friend, John Gimble, all the way in Texas.
All right.
Deep in the heart of Texas, And he's playing online. And he's under the gun plus one, Chris, holding the ace of diamonds, jack of diamonds. I know you were hoping that I was going to say the ten of diamonds.
No, I was not.
You cannot have back-to-back Cosenza hands.
No, I'm tired of typing my own name.
All right, now our hero says the table is fairly tight. He has just over $5 in his roll, and the villain in this hand has him covered. But we don't know there's a villain yet at this point. We are under the gun plus one with $5 at a fairly tight table. What do you do?
All right, we're under the gun plus one. Ace, jack of diamonds. I feel like a raise is coming. Let me see. Yes. depending on the table, I would probably make it 15 cents, maybe 12, maybe 18, somewhere in that range. Ace, jack of diamonds is a nice hand. It's not great, and if it was a really tough game, I might let it go, but probably not. I don't think I'd ever let that hand go. So I am raising.
Yeah, he didn't give us the full hand history here, so I don't know whether this is a nine-player table or a six or how many people. To me, it would depend on how many people were at the table. Because even at a fairly tight table, I'm not getting excited about ace of diamonds, jack of diamonds.
No. I mean, it's still a nice hand. It's a pretty-looking hand. But you really don't want to get too deep with this hand because, you know, I can't tell you how much money I've lost with ace jack over the years.
Yeah. And we should pause and remind people that the diamonds means very little here.
Yeah, 2%, 3% at best improvement. So, but still, I'm still raising with it. I'm first in. You know, it's a 2 cent, 5 cent game.
Yeah.
So let's raise.
And we say it's a fairly tight table, so you know, might as well. I mean, you can't play scared at a tight table. So.
Exactly.
But we're gonna be cautious, correct? You know, if we get played back at, we we'll fold like a little puppy dog. So you notice how we switched that up, puppy dog. I didn't try to offend anyone other than our canine listeners.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. The end of the gun folds, which I guess we were assuming.
Yeah.
And our hero raises to 15, so our standard 3X.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
All right, and he says that our villain, who is a rather loose player, he's in the cutoff, and he calls, and the big blind also calls. So right. three of us go to the flop, 47 clams in the pot.
Yeah, you know, I love it when you're playing this small because then you don't have to worry about the rake.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And the full 47 cents is coming back to us if we win there.
All right, we see a flop of five of hearts, ten of hearts, king of hearts.
Oh, man.
So much like last week's hand of the week when we had three spades on board. Three hearts this time, but unlike last week when we flopped Broadway, now we just flopped the Broadway draw.
Oh, man.
Big blind sex to us.
It's the right color, wrong suit. So what does the big blind do?
He checks to us.
All right. Well, I guess I took control of this hand, so I guess I'll do the standard Barry Greenstein C bet. And maybe bet, I don't know, maybe 35 cents maybe. Just because I if somebody raises me or if I get some sort of resistance, then if I don't hit a very important card on the turn, I will probably get out of this hand. So I'll bet 35 cents, see what happens. I know that the other guys kind of lose, so we'll see.
You know, it almost sounds like you're on Price is Right, Chris, when you're ordering the end of the week. You know what? I'm going to bid 45 cents. Yep. 45 cents, Drew. Thanks. On the Palmolive hand care. Yep. That's what I think it's worth.
You know what else, too? It's like when they're down at the, you know, in the audience still, and everyone bids really high, and then the lady goes, $1. And then you can see the rest of the people turn and look at it, and they're all saying to themselves, you bitch. And then they win, you know, she wins and goes up there and then, you know, gets
to hug.
She's
just playing the strategy.
That's right.
All right, well, you know, this is why I hate playing Ace of Jack out of position. There's just no good way to play here, I don't think, right?
Did you just turn Italian on me? You said Ace of Jack.
Ace of Jack, Amanja,
amico.
Because here's the thing, we've got people on both sides. We got the big blind who checked. He very well could have flopped the flush, and if he didn't, he could check raise here and make us think that he did, right?
Yeah.
And then we got the cutoff who's behind us, who has position on us. He very well could race as well, too, with nothing. And but if we don't bet, and they have either one of these players has one heart, then we're giving them a free shot at flushing us out here. So it's a proverbial damned if you do, damned if you don't, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't really fault someone checking there. I just feel like if we checked, the villain would steal it from us, and we very well could have a better hand. So I totally agree. I think a check isn't a bad idea, but if I was playing this hand, I probably would bet just to try to either thin the field or maybe even take it down right there. You know, at the odds of them having hearts in their hand, you know, if they don't have a heart, they're going to have to get out of this hand. And if they, you know, if they do have a heart, I'll probably know. So I agree with you. It's a tough hand to play out of position. And 35-cent investment, I think I'll risk it.
Yeah, because here's the thing. We haven't got to the cutoff yet, but if I'm the cutoff here on that kind of board and the preflop raiser puts out a continuation bet, I am raising with anything, I think.
Yeah, probably. If he loses, he says he is. Yeah, probably.
Well, I mean, in general, even I'm going to make this guy think that I have at least have to consider that I have hearts, and if not, put more money in. If he's not a regular three better, you know, if he's somebody that I think is going to play back at me, then it's different. But
yeah.
But if I'm one of the two opponents here, this is where I like to be against a preflop raiser, because either one of us can raise. And the guy's going to have to go, gosh, darn it, what a terrible flop. And have to consider folding, right? So yeah. I think we're real vulnerable here with a bet, and we're vulnerable without betting. So, all right, well, you said like 30, 35, a little bit more than that?
Somewhere around there, yeah, 30, 35.
All right, well, our hero bet's 20, so a little less than half the pot.
I don't like that bet.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more, right?
Yeah, if you're going to bet, it has to be more. I don't mind checking right. And betting nothing. But if you're going to bet, it should be a little more than that, because everybody's got all the odds in the world to call you now, even if they don't even have a heart in their hand. So I would definitely – I mean, I know they could probably interpret it as, oh, I have a monster and I didn't bet that much. And you know, but I don't think they're thinking on that level at 2-5. So I would bet more than that.
All right. Well, with the 20, our villain calls and the big blind folds. So we are looking at a pot of 87 cents. And this goes back to what I said before. I'm a little curious now. I'm really curious, actually, what the villain has.
Yeah.
The only reason I would call there, I think, is, again, like I said, if I thought my opponent was 3-bet capable, or I've got the flush and I'm just going to, like, string this guy along a little bit.
Yeah. He could be cautious, too. It could be like he has a king and no hearts, and he's waiting for the turn to be not be a heart and then spring, maybe.
I mean, absolutely. I'm not trying to, before Gundam and Rant all jump over me, I'm not trying to narrow his range here
right.
at all. I mean, he could have a lot of stuff. I'm just saying, as me, I think that's an excellent opportunity to raise there on a board like this against the preflop raiser who's continuation betting.
Sure, absolutely.
And you're missing an opportunity to take down the pot by nine, is what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
All right.
But
all right.
Again, we don't know what the villain has, and maybe the villain doesn't want to raise. Maybe he's already got the nuts. Well, he's just stringing them along. You know what I mean?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So I don't, a pure call there scares the hell out of me.
Exactly.
I think the guy's got a hand here, and we're going to have to really catch up to beat him.
All right. Well, again, the pot's 87 cents. Our hero puts our opponent on at least kings, but nothing more based on his play with him.
Hmm. Okay. Well, putting him on kings, and we're not a statistical favorite, so I would say we're done with this hand unless we make our Broadway or ace on the next card.
And I got to say, I got to question the kings here, too. I mean, if you had a king here, Chris, would you just call again? You wouldn't want to raise the...
Well, that's what I was saying, though, is that maybe he has a king and a bad kicker because he's so loose that he's just cautious to the turn. I don't know. Perhaps. I mean,
if you're loose, though,
saying.
I mean, you're going to play it better. I mean, well, I guess if you're loose aggressive, loose tight, then you're – or not loose tight. That doesn't make sense, but you know what I mean. Loose weak.
Loose weak.
all right. Well, we'll see. The turn is, as our hero says, the dreaded king of spades. So our board now is the five of hearts, ten of hearts, king of hearts, king of spades. And obviously we're first to act because the big blind is not in this hand anymore.
Okay, well, you know, you're reading his email, so I'm assuming that from top to bottom, he's doing this chronologically in his mind, too. So if after the guy called his 20-cent bet on the flop, he really did put him on a king at that point, then we're done with the hand.
Yep.
I'm not going to get somebody off three kings no matter what I do, so why bet here? So obviously I'm check folding if the guy bets me.
Yeah, and the fact that he called on the flop, there was really going to have to be a lot of really good turn card for me to really continue too much,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, that's what I was saying before, too. If he didn't make Broadway or an ace, I'm pretty much done. So if the guy has a king, now he has three of them, and I have to hit a straight to beat him. And even the straight card come could be a heart, and he could have another heart in his hand, and I'm still losing. So I have to get away from his hand like right now.
All right, well, our hero bets 40 cents into this 87-cent pot. And gets min raised to 80 cents. Raise your hand if you know saw that coming. All right, John, put your hand down. We don't believe you.
Oh, man. How could you bet here? I mean, if in your mind you know the guy has that or you're thinking he has it, you can't bet, you know?
Automatic raise, I think.
Yeah, and I'm looking for, like, a free card here in case the guy does have three kings and, you know, the miracle queen of spades comes. You know, to give me the straight and not add to the flush. So why bet and lose more money? You're just going to, you know he's going to raise if he has the king. And even if he doesn't, he's probably going to raise now.
Lots of reasons to raise now. I mean, you're right. Without a king, without the flush, without, I mean, that is such a scary board now that I'd almost fly to Texas and slap this villain if he didn't raise here.
And I don't even like the amount either. I probably would have bet like 60 cents there if I was going to – if I'm in a hand at this point and I'm betting – 40 cents is less than half the pot, and at that point, with all those draws and everything, and if you're trying to represent the king, you're not going to bet 40 cents. You know, you're going to bet more than that, so I would just not bet at all.
All right, well, our hero says he's now almost positive that he's got trips and no flush, but he decides to call anyway, hoping, in parentheses, stupidly, due to odds, that I catch my straight.
Jeez.
Well, so we're not going to pick on him because he knows that he made a mistake already, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, again, I would never have bet, and then when he got min-raised, I would have folded. So he knows he made a mistake, so I guess we'll just move on. The pot's probably almost $3 now, right? That's 80 and 80.
Yeah, 247.
Yeah, so, yeah, whatever. I mean, you're playing a 2-5 game. It's a nice pot so far.
My problem now, though, is we're not sure we would have hit the queen, right?
Right.
I'd almost be ready. I mean, people are going to get mad at me for saying this, but I would almost hope that I don't get the queen here and that I could just whimper and fold and be done with this because the queen is going to put us to a test, right?
Sure, because he could easily have king 10 or king queen, you know, easily. And or he could have a flush. He could have a flush. So, I mean, you know, I that's why I wanted to be done with this hand. I wanted to be done with it, you know, a while ago. So it's tough to be in these shoes. You keep getting put in the same predicament when you wouldn't have played it that way earlier. So it's tough to adjust. And I don't know if I want to hit my queen either. I think I want to just check fold.
You know what? I think I just want to get up and go get a beer. But, hey, you're still in the hand. I'm like, no, I'm not. I haven't been in this hand for a while. All right. Well, the river is the queen of spades.
Oh, it's the actual queen of spades, I said. That's funny.
You called it. You're like,
I called the queen of spades.
All right, so our final board is the five of hearts, ten of hearts, king of hearts, king of spades, queen of spades, and our hero, all caps, yes! Spike my straight. And the listening audience groans, oh. You don't want to be excited here, John.
No. No. I mean, you made your straight, which is what you were playing for, but I wouldn't get crazy here. I would probably check and just hope he bets a little bit that I can call and get showdown value and hope that he doesn't have the flush or the boat or quads. and then we take down a nice little pot. But I'm not betting or raising, I'll tell you that.
All right, well, you'll be happy to hear that our hero checks.
Yeah.
You'll be disgusted to hear that he's hoping to hit his opponent bets into him.
Oh, no. Oh man, I would just show it down.
It's kind of like that the movie, you know, you're like watching Scream at the theater. Don't go in there! No, don't go in there!
That's the nature of the hand of the week, man.
You don't want him to bet because you're gonna raise, and that's bad. Don't do it. All right, well, our villain bets $2 into this $2.47 pot, and guess what, Chris?
What's that?
He heard our screams from the movie theater and just calls instead of raising.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And you have to call because you have like the 18th best hand.
The 18th best hand. All right. Well, it says our hero shows his flush.
Wait,
that's going to be hard to do, buddy. I'm pretty sure you're going to show your straight, though.
Straight, yeah. He's going to say he's got Broadway.
But hey, that might work. Oh, flush. Oh, darn it. And the guy bucks, right?
Right.
It's a legal angle shoot.
Oh, my God.
All right, so he shows us Broadway. Villain turns over. King Queen.
Yeah. Oh, horrible river.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man. See, now, if you knew you had a king, and then you knew you had three kings, why were you playing this hand? That's really the way you got to think about it. Trust your reads, trust your feelings, and use the force.
Well, let's be happy, though, for John, though, that he got a momentary breath of sanity there at the end and not raise on the end and broke. We'll take pleasure in at least that he saved some money in his hand.
Absolutely.
All right, says, in hindsight, I know I played this one badly. Probably should have bet more pre and maybe check folded on the flop and or turn, depending on how things played out. I'm just glad it didn't go all in, but I still lost a chunk.
Yeah, that's about right. I don't even know about pre-flop raising more, really. King queen, guy's loose, not going anywhere anyway.
Right, right.
Check folding the turn, the flop, probably. I mean, you could do a C bet there, and then it's the turn really that he made his mistake. The turn is the big thing. I think the I don't really fault him for betting on the flop. He took control of it before. You could have had pocket aces. You could have had pocket aces with the ace of hearts. You could represent so many things there. I don't mind the flop bet. It's the turn bet and the call of the min raise that really got him in trouble.
Well, I also think the villain's play is pretty interesting in this hand. Pre-flop cutoff, he's a loose player. You're going to call king-queen, even though I probably wouldn't to a raise. But this flop again, king-high, second-best kicker. Standard continuation bet. I'm going to raise there. I mean, I don't have any hearts. I don't want the flush to get there, right?
Well, let me ask you this.
Or at least people let the flush get there without making somebody pay for it, at least.
Let me ask you this, though. Did he tell us what the king and the queen were?
Because
you don't know
not.
If he had the queen of hearts. He could have had the queen of hearts.
Okay, that would make a difference. That's true. He did not say.
So it's hard to really base how the villain played unless you know exact two cards.
Right, right. Okay, well, at least we could say on the turn, though, the min raise was probably not enough, right?
Yeah, no, because...
You got three kings there. I mean, even if I got the flush, I want to bet a little bit more. I want to extract value there.
Yeah.
And I know the min raise isn't enough for me. I think I can get more out of this guy.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would probably make it $1.20 there, $1.40, if I'm him with three kings and even maybe the queen of hearts in my hand, because I have that to fall back on if my trips aren't good enough on the end, so...
Right.
You know, no, I agree. I think the villain played it weird, but again, not knowing if he had the Queen of Hearts in his hand or not, it's tough to say.
I do like his $2 bet at the end, though. It's almost pot-sized, and I can't tell you. I mean, we saw this a lot in the five-card draw free roll last night. People betting weak with a big hand.
Yeah. And, I mean, either you're going to get called there or you're not, so you might as well bet a nice amount. Because if you bet 50 cents, if he's got nothing, he's not going to call you either. So you might as well bet a nice amount, and he did. He got the most he could out of our guy.
All right, well, our hero thanks us. He says he's never missed an episode in 3 years. We appreciate that.
Wow, that's awesome.
And he says maybe one day Texas will get casinos, besides that little tiny one on the border, and we can make a road trip over there. I would love to make a road trip to Texas.
Absolutely. We'd go to Longview and see where Doyle grew up, and, we'd do all kinds of stuff.
Absolutely. All right, well, John, you did not win the hand, but you did win a deck of those wonderful J-Design playing cards from ClassicPlayingCards.com, the official playing cards of Anti-Up. And you, too, could have your hand dissected on the show and win valuable swag by emailing it to podcast@antiupmagazine.com.
I want to thank Joe Seabach for, getting his beard and himself to Florida to talk to me. It was a good interview and another good show. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We will see you at the tables.
Anti Up is a production of AntiUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AntiUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@anyupmagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.